One, welcome to CITR 101.9 FM radio. My name is Jack Campbell, and you're listening to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Very happy to welcome you back to the second installment of our broadcast on the violin and piano music of the 20th and early 21st, in some cases, centuries. Before we begin, I'd like to remind you all that CITR 101.9 FM radio is broadcast live from the traditional, unceded in ancestral territories of the Musqueam Indigenous peoples. For those of you who are new to Breaking Barriers, on this show, I, with you as listener, like to take music considered of the classical tradition from the 20th and 21st century and analyze it in a social, a compositional, and a cultural context to give greater insight into some of the most curious, wonderful, idiosyncratic, and indeed unique music ever written. This is the second part in an installation where I will be discussing perhaps the greatest joy of my life, which is the violin and piano music of the 20th and 21st centuries. Last time, we focused on the music of Ravel, Prokofiev, Julia Wolf, and Claude Vivier. Today's oral menu is quite different. I'd also like to take a moment to say that for those of you who missed the broadcast last week, sorry about that, there was a technical issue here at the station that prevented it from airing, but good news. Now all Breaking Barriers episodes are up and running as a podcast on DJ Land from CITR, and if you Google Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell, you will be able to listen to all previous episodes at your viewing pleasure. All right, time to get to some music. Today we're going to begin with the four pieces, Opus 7 for violin and piano, by none other than Anton Webern. These pieces were written in 1910 and published in 1912, and actually it was the first of Webern's pieces that he had professionally published. I believe that this is perhaps the most wonderful example of how Webern's music revolves around such individual and clear themes throughout everything he does and how he does it. These works are all in miniature form, yet they all relate to one another entirely. They are entirely symmetrical and conjure up the most ethereal sound world in how he constructs them using techniques such as the mute collegno battuto, where the stick of the bow is involved in striking the sound. They are serialist in terms of their application of tone rows, and their rhythmic structure all illustrates very unique forms with great mathematical precision and, once again, symmetry that structure them as these perfect little gems. And one is sort of reminded of the later miniatures of Georgi Kurtag, who I know was very inspired by Webern, in that all sort of parameters of music are covered within this minute or so of each movement. There's great precision of pitch, and in fact all pitches are covered, great precision of rhythm, and also timbral and dynamic manipulation. And so you kind of get this work that sort of defies any sort of conventions of normal melody. You know, it's melodic, but it's not lyrical. And also, much more than for, say, Schoenberg, who operated sometimes within very strict A-B form, and of course, you know, was steeped in the classical tradition, and a great scholar on it, and Webern being Schoenberg's student. These are extremely formally concise, but they don't necessarily develop or progress in the way that we usually expect from classical violin and piano music, or that sort of shape and form. Also, in terms of the way that they move, there's moments of incredible speed, but also entire movement structured around the most incredibly slow tempi, really pushing the extremes there. And I think that's something that Webern was a master of, within an accessible, logical, justifiable form that was very educated and thought out and precise. He could really push the limits of music. And, you know, a revolutionary piece is always a revolutionary piece. And when you hear this piece, it's one of the ones where I still am astounded by how brilliant it sounds. Always, always surprising. And perhaps that is one of the tropes of a truly great artist. The recording we're going to listen to was published by the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, and it features Kristen Lee and Gilbert Kalish. This is the Four Pieces for Violin Piano, Opus 7, by Anton Webern, and we will listen to each movement with a pause in between, starting with number one, Sehr langsam.
Thank you.
The piece you just heard was Anton Webern's Four Melodies for Violin and Piano. That was one of Webern's first published works. In fact, it was his first published work. And it so brilliantly synthesizes everything about Webern's music, which is so very brilliant. For those of you who are just tuning in, my name is Jack Campbell. You're listening to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell, Thursdays, live at 10 a.m., broadcasting live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam Indigenous people. Today is the second installment in a series on the violin and piano music of the 20th century. That Webern, some would say that maybe he even invented the miniature form, as we know it, so one of those movements just being 59 seconds long. And the way in which the phrase is so brilliantly constructed, but in ways that are ambiguous, yet so perfectly placed and crafted, and has such a brilliant formal structure, but it never feels static or cliché, and the push and pull of varying elements, extremely slow tempi, with extremely fast rhythms and extremely fast tempi with great, great quietness, and the use of these, at that time, very shocking techniques such as the colegno battuto sounds with the stick, or the extreme sol ponticelli, or the taking on and off of a mute within a solo piece, which people forget how revolutionary that would have been at that time, mutes being very much for orchestra music. I mean, there's the one passage with the mute in the Tchaikovsky violin concerto, but that's all I can clearly think of. And, you know, that piece, in a way you could say that perhaps it sets the tone for the rest of the century. You know, last week we began the broadcast with some Ravel. And this is a very different angle, but, you know, perhaps those two composers, along with Stravinsky, and set the path forward at the beginning. And you can see those elements combining throughout all composers that came after in some way, whether it's in how much they admire them and how much they're trying to sound not like them through admiring them at the same time, or how much they don't admire them and don't want to sound like them, or how much they don't admire them and do sound like them. We're now going to listen to a composer who I know very much was inspired by Webern, as was his great contemporary and friend and later rival, Pierre Boulez. Now, this piece is interesting. We're dealing with a lot of firsts in this episode, because this was written when the composer was still a student. Before I talk about it, I'd like to just play it for you. It's a 10-minute composition in three movements, performed by Sashkow Gorilov on violin and Alois Kontarski on piano. It's titled Sonatine. It was composed in the 1950-1951 area. And this is by Karlheinz Stockhausen. Thank you. You've just been listening to Karlheinz Stockhausen's Violin and Piano, composition Sonatine for Violin and Piano, and we'll resume after a short commercial break and hear the rest of the work.
You can now live a long, healthy life thanks to treatment. But the first step is to get tested. The sooner you know your HIV status, the better. You can now test yourself at home with just a prick of the finger and get results within a minute. Order a free HIV self-test kit online at selftest.catie.ca. That's selftest.catie.ca. Your health is at your fingertips. A message from CATIE. Canada's source for HIV and hepatitis C information.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% Indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or grocery checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek Coffee today.
And now we will resume listening to Karlheinz Stockhausen's Sonatine for Violin and Piano, Third Movement.
Thank you.
Welcome to CITR 101.9 FM Radio. My name is Jack Campbell, and we are broadcasting live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam Indigenous Peoples. You're listening to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell, live Thursdays at 10 a.m. Now, we were just finishing listening there to Karlheinz Stockhausen's Sonatine for Violin and Piano. And this episode is the second in our four-part series on the violin and piano music of the 20th and early 21st centuries. Now, that work of Stockhausen's, you might be surprised to know it is written by Stockhausen, in that it's so different from what we usually expect from Stockhausen. We usually expect almost megamaniacal, grand, extremely dissonant and bombastic and crazy whirlwinds of sounds unlike anything we've ever heard, and harmonies combining in ways we don't know, and advanced instrumental techniques, whereas that sounds like a very much more conservative approach to composition than what he normally is known for. Well, now that's how it sounds at first glance. So Stockhausen wrote this piece for his final examination when he was a composition student at the conservatory in Cologne. This work does encompass a lot of what Stockhausen later would be notorious for writing. And although you can hear, you know, triads in the work, it is very much polytonal and serialistic in how it's written. He takes more of, say, Berg's angle, where he arranges his 12-tone rows and his polytonality in recognizable chord formations. And his rhythms are not completely serialistic, more in terms of how he constructs the phrases around these pitches. It's more of the Alban Berg style of the Second Viennese rather than the Webern, which we started this episode with, that would later so brilliantly be expressed in his writing. However, you can hear a lot of Webern within the structuring of things and how he adjusts, I think, especially in terms of the pacing and the tempi. It's a really brilliant piece, and it's hardly ever played, so I'm happy to have had the chance to listen to it. It's also interesting to see how he's not really manipulating coloristic techniques yet. He stays in a much more standard way of playing the violin, which creates this very core sound. It's very dramatic. It reminds me last week of the Prokofiev we listened to, actually. And of course, I don't think anybody would ever string Stockhausen and Prokofiev together in the same sentences. But in terms of the power and the urgency and the sound and the harmonic writing, it really creates a tremendous sense of tension. And, you know, there isn't any particularly obvious natural cadential resolution happening, so that sort of atmosphere and direction carries over throughout the piece. We're now going to listen to a work by a friend of a friend of Stockhausen, his friend, of course, being Pierre Boulez, and Pierre Boulez being great friends with the great, great American genius John Cage. I've just talked a lot about the Stockhausen, so we're going to listen to all six of the six melodies for violin and keyboard by John Cage, and then discuss them afterwards. There'll be a slight pause between each movement, and I'll just leave you with saying you're about to notice how very different this is than what we've been listening to so far. Please enjoy the six melodies for violin and keyboard by John Cage, performed by Irvin Arditi and Stephen Drinney. Thank you. For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell live Thursdays at 10 a.m. broadcasting live on CTR 101.9 FM radio from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam Indigenous people. And you've just been listening to the Six Melodies for Violin and Keyboard by John Cage, and that was performed by Irvin Arditi and Stephen Drury. This is the second installment of our four-part series on violin and piano music of the 20th and early 21st centuries. The Six Melodies of Cage was composed in 1950. And Cage himself actually went so far as, in a letter to Pierre Boulez, called the Six Melodies a postscript to his string quartet in four parts, one of his greatest pieces. Now, it shares a similarity to that quartet in how it uses the gamut technique and what are called nested rhythmic proportions. So the gamut technique was when a fixed number of kind of aggregate harmonies, be they single notes, sonorities, chords, harmonies, were prepared by Cage and then sort of constructed independently of one another to avoid functional harmony. And it also has a very clear rhythmic structure, same as the quartet, which is 3 1/2, 3 1/2, 4 4 3 4. So it's also interesting that the violinist is instructed to play the score without vibrato and with a very light bow. Now, we began this broadcast with Webern, and actually Cage met Morton Feldman after he left a performance of the New York Philharmonic after the Webern, because he didn't want it to be what he would consider sort of poisoned in his ears by the following Rachmaninoff piano concerto. This piece is very similar to Webern, just not in obvious ways, in that it avoids standard sonorities, it manipulates timbre and texture, it creates these fascinating colors, and it has a very precise and concise and well-constructed rhythmic format that defies expectations, and it creates closure and variation without the standard tropes, such as cadential formula, or very standard harmonic progression, or being entirely reliant on certain speeds. It sort of moves forward and it evolves, and it's also so much like the Webern and the symmetry between the movements, which I'm sure you can hear. And it's also just extraordinarily beautiful. And I think it's interesting to compare it to the Stockhausen, with Stockhausen also being very influenced by Webern and the Second Viennese School, but taking such a radically different approach to things. The other similarity between this and the Stockhausen is that they were written in the same year, around the same time. I believe the Cage was published in 1950 and the Stockhausen in 1951. And it just shows how different sides of the same coin and different approaches taken by different composers. We're going to take a short commercial break and come back and listen to one more piece, which I look forward to talking to you about. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of Big Brother bookstores trying to sell you some billionaire's favorite book or Heather's top picks? Then you should check out Vancouver Books. Vancouver Books is a new online family-run bookstore. A portion of their profits go to First Nations reconciliation and environmental projects in British Columbia. They provide their customers with the most interesting books in fine arts, signed first editions, First Nations photography, fine ancient books, occult, and so much more. They also provide carbon-free delivery to anywhere in the Vancouver area. So go to www.vancouverbooks.ca to check out Vancouver Books today. That's www.vancouverbooks.ca.
Is your mom obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So is Alice.
Are you too obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So are we.
Tune in to Viva Porú, el ungüento para el alma,
every other Thursday at 4 p.m. here at CITR 101.9 FM.
A radio show dedicated to Latin awesomeness and culture. Hosted by yours truly, the one and only
DJ Bruja. And the other one and only
DJ D-Rod.
Featuring music genres like
salsa, sabrosura vintage, bolero, bossa, Latin indie, plus so much more.
Disclaimer, Viva Peru, el invento para el alma, contains a high amount of llama content. DJ D-Rod and DJ Bruja are not responsible for a newly found llama obsession.
For those of you who are just tuning in, welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM radio. My name is Jack Campbell, and you're listening to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell, broadcasting Thursdays live at 10 a.m. from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam First Nations people. In today's broadcast, the second part of a four-part series on the violin piano music of the 20th and early 21st century, we've explored Webern, Cage, and Stockhausen. And now we're going to turn to a composer whom I think really summarizes the whole 20th century in her work, including the work of those three composers, and I'd argue the better aspects of all of them. Kaija Saariaho's Takar is one of her lesser-known works, but it is an absolutely brilliant piece for the violin and piano, written in 2010. I'd like to read you her specific words about the program note and also acknowledge her recent passing and how important she is to music and modern music, and I believe anybody who composes. She says, "One of my first ideas for Takar about the encounter of two instruments as different as the violin and piano was the question, how could they touch each other? Whilst composing music, I always imagine the instrumentalist's fingers and their sensitivity. The violin sounds are created by the collaboration between the left hand and the bow controlled by the right hand. On the pianist should be extremely precise in order to control the moment when the fingers touch the keys. Afterwards, the sounds can be colored only by the pedals. In spite of such different mechanisms, both instruments also have some common points, purely musical. Noticeably, they share some of the same register. In Takar, both instruments move forward independently, but also keep an eye on each other. I imagine a magnetism becoming stronger and stronger. The piano part becomes more mobile, which draws the violin texture towards the piano writing, culminating in an encounter in unison. After this short moment of symbolism, the violin line is released from the measured piano motion, continuing its own life outside the laws of gravity. The title, in Spanish, is translated to touch to play. Takar was commissioned by the International Jean Sibelius Violin Competition. The work was premiered by the 20 semifinalists in Helsinki on the 26th, 27th, and 28th of November 2010. Kaija Saariaho, written from Paris, November 29th, 2010. Please enjoy Kaija Saariaho's Takar, and this is being performed by Jennifer Coe and Nicholas Hodges. That was Takar for Violin and Piano by Kaya Sarriaho. Thank you all so much for listening. Once again, this is CITR 101.9 FM Radio. My name is Jack Campbell. We're broadcasting live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam Indigenous people. This is Breaking Barriers, second part in our four-part series on the violin piano music of the 20th century. That was Kaya Sarriaho's Takar, performed by Jennifer Koh and Nicholas Hodges. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'll see you next week for part three. Have a wonderful day. Keep listening to weird music. Thanks so much. Jack out.
Down the trees that used to live there. What kind of sick joke is that? Big time for progress.